right, the history of healthcare in this country. Rather interesting stuff. An article in the Baltimore Sun written by Dr. Laura Kaplan-Wiseman, family physician here in Maryland. Good to have you on. Appreciate you coming on the show. Let's go back to many decades ago when we first saw health insurance. I guess that was, you write, in 1929, but it really didn't come into play until Roosevelt was in office, Franklin Roosevelt. And how did that come to be?
Yeah, so thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. So back, if you go back 100 years ago, healthcare in the United States was very, very, very different. Most healthcare was unregulated. A lot of things that we used to say had just come out, such as antibiotics. So there really wasn't a need for health insurance in the United States because healthcare wasn't that expensive, and treatments didn't always work as well as they do today. So health insurance first started in 1929, where the first plan, which is Blue Cross, came out. It was 50 cents a month, and it only covered inpatient hospital care, which is kind of a bigger cost of care. Mm-hmm. And in 1940, only 9% of Americans actually had health insurance. But during World War II, because of the labor shortages, President Roosevelt banned businesses from increasing wages.
I'm going to stop you there for a second. President of the United States banned businesses from how much they could pay employees. He set a limit on it. I mean, that's astonishing. I mean, I don't think that could ever roll today. So, and because of that, these companies had to counter by offering people incentives or benefits packages, and that included healthcare.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's why we have healthcare tied to businesses.
Exactly. So it's not like this is a rational, well-thought-out system.
Yeah,
we're not.
Right.
This isn't for moral reasons. It's really just businesses were responding to the climate at the time.
Okay, so that's why we have it associated with businesses. Now Truman comes along, and he wants a single payer. And then what happened there?
Exactly. So Truman proposed a single-payer health care plan in both 1945 and 1948. However, a lot of people did not want a single-payer plan because once you're entrenched in a current system, you don't want to lose your profits or change what's happening for your business. So many different groups, including the Chamber of Commerce, the American Medical Association, AMA, and the American Hospital Association, and the insurers decided that this isn't going to happen. And they used campaigns that went over years and threatened socialized medicine and other tactics in order to say, we're not going to have a single-payer system in the United States.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Laura Kaplan-Wiseman, a family physician in Maryland. So then we get to Medicare, which was, I guess, kind of a compromise of single-payer that came out from Kennedy.
Exactly. So John F. Kennedy and other people in the early 1960s realized that this wasn't tenable. People, especially older people, Americans with disabilities, Americans who had less income, and Americans who didn't have a job that offered health insurance, healthcare costs were becoming untenable, and it was very difficult for them to watch this. So they saw that while they wanted single payer, and that was one of the original goals of Medicare and Medicaid, it wasn't going to pass. They proposed kind of a whatever they could get passed, which was Medicare and Medicaid. After John F. Kennedy was assassinated, Lyndon B. Johnson took up the fight, and they were able to pass Medicare and Medicaid in 1965.
All right, let's get back to, I guess, the thesis of your point about why we can't afford it. So why the cost? I mean, to 5 cents a month or whatever it was. Obviously, those are different times in 1929 to now, where some people are paying $15,000 a year just for their company plan, and then spending money on top of that.
Right. So back in the beginning, most of the health insurance companies were not for profit, meaning they were actually covering, they were using the money that people paid in premiums to actually cover health care. But things have changed. Now there's a huge incentive, and most of the major health insurance companies are for profit. Most CEOs of health insurance companies make $20 to $30 million a year in bonuses, and it's a lot of our money is actually going to salaries and bonuses for CEOs, other executive health care plans. There's also a whole lot of administrative waste. Most doctors' offices and hospitals have to hire an army of billers in order to fight with each individual insurance company to figure out what this company covers, what they need to get reimbursed for the service of that day. So there's a lot at this point, because companies are for profit, they're trying to deny as much as possible in order to keep their profits and pay their shareholders, their boards, their CEOs, and their employees. And there is just so much administrative
waste. So are you arguing then, like Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris, that we need to get rid of insurance companies altogether? Is it a single payer that you believe is the best way?
At this point of the ideas proposed, I believe that single payer is the best way to go. if insurance companies would go back to being not-for-profit, that is another option, but another benefit of single payer is it creates one risk pool so that whoever runs the insurance company, such as the government, can negotiate on behalf of the entire country and get better prices for drugs and for hospital visits, for doctor's visits, and that reduces all the costs. Where if we had many different not-for-profit health insurance companies, while that would definitely decrease costs, it wouldn't get rid of all of the administrative burden and administrative waste. So I believe at this point in time,
the argument always is, though, you really want government to run your healthcare system. What does government run well in this country? I mean, the VA isn't running very well. I look at Baltimore and say, what does the Baltimore city government run well? What does the federal government do well? Why would you have any expectations of a well-run healthcare system with the government in charge?
I mean, the government currently runs Medicare and Medicaid. They've been doing it for 54 years. This last week was the 54th anniversary of Medicare and Medicaid. And most people on Medicare would not want to go back and would not want to get rid of their Medicare. So I think you can ask Americans on Medicare what they think about it. I think I'd also ask what are our current health insurance companies doing well is the next question. And as a family physician who deals with insurance companies every single day and people who can't afford health care are going bankrupt, are trying to establish GoFundMes in order to fund their medical care, I think the next question is what are health insurance companies doing well?
All right. We'll leave it there. Great to have you on, Laura. Always, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Dr. Laura Kaplan-Wiseman, family physician in Maryland, on a little bit of history of healthcare, which is fascinating, and where we are today.